Age of Transitions.
You are listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, March 12th, 2023. Live, as always, from the facilities of Ocelli.com. Ocelli Radio Network is back up and running. You can't keep it down. Chuck was down with some technical difficulties for a minute, but back. Very exciting. Glad to have the network back up. It's not pirate radio, but it's Ocelli Radio Network, and it's great being live every Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. And if you want to call in, I'll give the call-in number in a moment, but you will be able to do so. I'd love to speak with you as always. My website is theageoftransitions.com. Pick up the podcast there. You can support the show in oh so many ways. Have T-shirts for all of the shows available there. If you buy an Ocelli shirt, it goes to Chuck and the network. The proceeds do. Also have Uncle Podcast T-shirts and Age of Transitions T-shirts. We have Revolve Man Scientific Rise to Godhood. Always the best way to support the show, is how I say. Have paperback or ebook copies available of that. Thank you, everybody who has ever bought a book. Thank you to anybody who will. Thank you for anybody who has reviewed the book on Amazon or anywhere else. If you want to make a review on Lulu.com, the primary place where I kind of sell the book and publish the book through, that would be cool. Thank you for recommending the book, for buying the book and passing it along, or what have you. So thank you on the Revolve front all the way around. Yeah, very pleased with that book still. And then we have the Patreon account, which I haven't posted on in a while, but I will. I've got a backlog of material to post there. It will go up. So thank you for supporting there. You keep the show going. You are like not the producers, not really the ex. You keep the show. You support the show and you keep it going. How about that? I don't know what title to give you, but I just want to say thank you to everybody who has support on Patreon, because it means a lot. Also have the affiliate links, so if you ever buy a book online, buy it at bookshop.org, and do that by clicking through the links on my website. So go to theageoftransitions.com. On the right side of the site is my affiliate link graphics. You click on the bookshop.org link, and it'll take you to my little shop there where you can buy recommended book titles, or you can shop around for anything you want, and whatever you end up getting, when you click through my link, it'll kick something back to me. So thank you. Anybody buying books, remember that. Bookshop.org link. Also, if you're thinking about making a podcast, consider Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. You can use promo code Franz, or again, click through the link on my website. You get 2 months of service for free. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so live show. And one more thing with the Ocelli Radio Network, it's back up, but Chuck has been seeking advertisers for the network and making a point of reminding people of this every week. Maybe you've been listening to me in the past weeks, like, oh yeah, maybe I could advertise this or that. And really, you can advertise anything. You can promote even an idea you think is a good idea. Like, I wish people knew about this. Like, you could record a message and literally just have it played on Ocelli.com. If you think that would be, you know, something you want people to hear, that's something you could set up. So, you know, you'd be creative, you know, think outside the box. But of course, if you're a product, service, any standard ad, that is good to go to. Just it's ads at Ocelli.com. Kind of hearing myself for a little bit here, but it's... Oh, there it's gone. So anyway, the call-in number, if you want to call in, is 319-527-5016. Also come on the show through Skype. If you do type a message to Chuck, he's charles.ocelli on Skype. So type him a message. He'll bring you on, or call 319-527-5016. We're live. It's the age of transitions that we live in. We're not always aware of it. It's hard to be aware of quite a few things. A lot of things go unnoticed, not recognized, hidden in plain sight. That happens sometimes. Not sure if you've ever noticed things hidden in plain sight, but tends to occur more often than not. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's going to be okay because you'll notice a couple more things than the average person. Don't worry, you'll still miss a lot, but don't be dismayed by that because there's so much happening all at once that if you were to try to pay attention to everything, you would drive yourself to madness. And that's something we want to avoid here at on this show. Something I want to avoid in my personal life. I don't want to be driven to madness. Of course, we're all a bit mad. You have to be to make it in this world. But, you know, just a little bit of madness. We don't want to go full on. That kind of makes me think of the movie. The Oscars, the Academy Awards are playing as I record the show. And I know that favorite, everything... Was it Everything All at Once? I just saw the movie. I can't remember the full title, but it's Everything All the Time All at Once. But I watched the movie. It's a good movie. But watching the movie makes you feel as though you have schizophrenia. Or that's how it made me feel. I told my wife that. I'm like, man, it made me feel like I have schizophrenia. I don't think she liked when I said that, but that's how it felt to me. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Thank you, Chuck. Yes, that's it. I knew that.
Schizophrenia. At first I was going to tell you Everything Everywhere All at Once is the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing I was going to tell you is you felt like you were schizophrenic watching that?
Yes. Like, it kept, like, bouncing all over the place, different, like, universes and, like, You didn't get that vibe. You didn't feel as though you were schizophrenic. I was a bit tired too. It was just about before I was to go to bed.
I was
so
totally
that was getting me.
I was totally exhausted and discovered this thing by accident, right? And usually I am anti-popular movie, right? I mm-hmm. always hate the popular. Just automatically, if it's popular, I go, nope, not going to watch it. Don't care, right?
Got it. Yeah.
But I caught this thing accidentally. Didn't know it was popular. Watched it, and I found it extremely refreshing.
Yeah.
It was not psychotic at all.
No, I'm not saying it's bad that it made me feel like I had that. I liked it, but it made me feel that way personally. It's a personal problem, I guess.
I felt so good about it, except the only thing that I was like, what is with this is the hot dog hands. You know, other than that, I was like, this is great. Like, this is so, you know, like, thank you for not talking down to me, filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I felt about it. But maybe I'm weird. Maybe. What am I with the maybe over here? I know I'm weird, but I'm just saying this Everything Everywhere All at Once for once was a something that was, you know, adult to me. It was like, this is complex enough.
Yes.
That thank you. I'm not like, okay, which superhero is going to show up? Where's their origin story? What's the, you know, reloaded, regurgitated nonsense? No. This to me was, and what's sad is to me is like, this is the first time, like I said, in, I don't know, 40 years that I'm like, oh, I liked a popular movie. You know, I hated Titanic, right? I did love Heath Ledger's, you know, like Heath Ledger got a whole thing, ballyhoo after he died, you know, for the Joker.
Yes.
But other than that, usually when something is big in pop culture, automatically you can assume that I'm going to go, nope.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was playing around with the concept of the multiverse. And it was just like, you know, it was presented like, well, what if the multiverse not only is a real idea, but like what would happen if you were able to jump from one version of reality to the next? And to me, that felt like having schizophrenia. You know, is that not what schizophrenics believe that their life is? Something like that sometimes? Maybe I have a mistaken idea about
Well, you know what? To say that we could break down the schizophrenic mindset is difficult, like, to do here in the remaining, I don't know, 40 minutes you got. But, I mean, and there's a lot of ways to look at it. Unless you're inside the mind of a schizophrenic, I think it's unfair to try and characterize it, okay?
Mm.
But I would say that it's interesting because the trope of alternate realities is obviously something that has now been played with a lot in the past couple of decades, mm-hmm. right? To me, I don't know. This was done differently. There was not just a stylistic difference, and not just because there was a technological advance. You know, like some of the more recent Star Treks and stuff are very cool because technology, right? They don't have to film the little models anymore. They don't have to just, you know, do things with subtext in movies. They can actually show you stuff morphing from one place to another a lot easier than they used to. CGI's advanced, you know, all that. So these tropes have existed for a long time. And again, overdone. Too many things have been redone and reloaded and rebooted, and God help us, what's going to come next, right? I mean, every time you turn around, it's like, hey, that was a thing 30 years ago. They're just going to redo it again. Why not? Reboot it. Redo it. It's either that or an unwarranted sequel. But this concept, which has been used a lot, to me, was presented stylistically differently. And there was a different thread here. Not just the common, here's the multiverse, and yes, okay, there's that concept. But there was a lot of different dynamics at play here. I found it to be it was multifaceted. It came at you from a lot of different levels. And I did not get the feeling of schizophrenia at all. I thought it was... I can see how some people would, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, I keep getting a lot of flack for saying that, so apparently, I don't know. That's not a popular thing to say, but I'm standing by it. That's how it made me feel. Well, and again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying the movie's bad. It's impressive that it can make you feel that way. And it had more than one director, I believe, and I had heard that the directors previously had not done any full-length features, but they come from the world of music videos, which makes a lot of sense stylistically, like you're saying. Yeah. It's got a lot more of those like quick cuts and like very fast moving pace of that. That's very much common in the music video world. So that made a lot of sense to me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, to me, as a piece of art, it's very representative of our time. And why do I say that? Because you have the...
Oh, not yet.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Uncle yeah. Checking in early.
Yes. I'm sorry. He's setting up.
No problem.
Yeah.
So, well, let me just finish this point, and then I'll go away. I don't want to dominate your time. But I was like, wow, I'm glad that he's bringing this up. And then you went, oh, but it's kind of like schizophrenia. And I went, wait a minute. Let me.
Well, everybody thinks
title.
I'm like ragging on the movie. My wife thought that too. No, it's just the way that it. My mind was like it sucked me in. It's like, geez Louise. It's like, well, it's like you believe that the multiverse. Like you can do like the things. I don't know. It sucked me in, and it was like, whoa. Like trying to follow the speed and pace of the film was a bit exhausting. Like it's hard work. It's tough to keep up with this one.
I don't know. I found it refreshing. Again, I'm not saying that you're bashing the film either. It's just I think schizophrenic is the wrong descriptor. But I'm not bashing you because, oh yeah, why are you picking on the film? And also I'm certainly not the PC police. That's not my job. Okay. so I'm not here like, oh, why would you say that about schizophrenics? Watch your microaggressions, bro. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that to me, stylistically. Okay. So tell me where I'm wrong. Okay. Let's just try this. There is, very much the action sequences that are typical of our time and also have been typical for a long time, like from The Matrix, the bullet sort of stuff.
Bullet time and all that business.
Bullet time, right? You have martial arts. You have mixed martial arts, actually. You have some of your John Wick slash, good God, what is the name of that other that movie series with the guy with Eggsy, and he's part of the you know what I'm talking about?
It's a martial arts kind of thing?
No, not a martial arts thing. It's like spies. They're like British spies, but it's like crazy action sequences in it.
It's not the 007 movies?
No, not the 007 movies. It's a newer thing. They recently did a thing where it was...
Born, that's not British.
No.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, anyway, the action sequences, which are really, really intricate, where they're just totally wild, unrealistic, like, let's stick with John Wick. John Wick's easier, because when you watch that stuff, it's like these insanely complex dances, almost, that go mm-hmm. on here where it's like, wow, craziness goes on, right? Where you know, the fight sequences are extremely choreographed, and, you know, how does somebody amazingly survive this and get hit by a car, but then just roll off of it, and, you know, so on and so forth. Like, there's that going on where somebody's, like, you know, grabbing a knife in midair and then flipping it around and, you know, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
What would you call that? That's something that's only really a recent presentation in movies and stuff. You know what I mean? It's only
I don't know what that is called, but yeah, I know what you mean. Well, the action.
Yeah, you're getting a sense of that type of action, right? So you have the supernatural sort of elements and the deep cerebral elements that are metaphorical and also literal at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you also have a family dynamic here.
Yes, yes.
And the weirdness there and the concept of possibilities where there's actually a bit of a romance around the family dynamic and a family sort of coming together, right?
Yep. Yep.
Now, all of these things are contained in the same film that are meant to make you take a look at the wider possibilities available within your reality and maybe on the fringes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how it could all be interconnected, although seemingly separate, right? Compartmentalization, but with transparency. So, to me, they packed a whole bunch of stuff into one thing. Like, if you were to take a snapshot of some of the higher concepts in filmmaking for the past, I don't know, 20 years, maybe more, maybe like 25 years, actually. Go back to, like, just when The Matrix was coming out and stuff. So that would be, what, 99 in there?
Yeah, I believe that was 99.
98, 99. Like, if you take all of the filmmaking concepts that have been sort of higher, the CGI, the fight sequencing, the complex, not just the same simple, you know, three layers of story, ABC story, right? Protagonist, antagonist. You have flips around on that where you have different you know, twists or so, different tropes are being flipped on their head because of different motivations, okay? All of that comes together in this movie, which to me is interesting in and of itself, just as a piece of art. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, and definitely, I mean, I feel like they were purposely doing that with like the
oh, and somebody in the chat mentioned the exact thing I was thinking of with the complex action sequences. The Kingsman.
Oh, okay. I haven't really watched that. I've heard of it, so yeah, no wonder I didn't know that. I've ever seen that.
Just go to YouTube. I'm sure they'll show you action sequences. There is craziness going on there, where, you know, they're flipping umbrellas. Like, you have James Bond, but imagine combining James Bond and John Wick. You know, those, like, insane fight sequences,
but with
Bond tools as well.
Got it.
Kingsman is, again, it was very popular for a moment, but I just find it interesting as a piece of art. Anyway, I'm just saying that, see, I look at this stuff on a lot of different levels. There's a lot of different messaging here, and I can't wait until after the Oscars are over and the alt-media sort of gets a hold of this.
And oh, God.
You know, it's going to be like, this is all motivated by Satan. This is the Luciferian question. This is the New World Order telling you to shut up.
I feel like they would have done that already, though. It might have just, like, blown past them. What might happen is it might be similar to The Matrix, and, like, they take it on as, like, a new, like, oh, this is what we've been trying to tell everybody this whole time, you know? That's... It could happen. And definitely they're referencing The Matrix with, like, you know, you instantly learn to do martial arts by gaining skills and jumping multiverses in this case, or, you know, just downloading it in The Matrix case. They're doing that consciously, and it's interesting.
Well, there are subtle homages to many different types of films. And, yeah, I would say The Matrix in that way, sure, with the whole thing with the martial arts. But... See, this is picking up different pieces of your personality and almost speaking to one of those grand questions, which is asked. And it is true that in alt media land, there is a very small pocket of individuals who were discussing this kind of thing. Okay.
Sure.
But it is a lot small. You know how it's going to be, though. Once it catches a bit, people are going to come out and jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, it could. You never know what's going to become popular there. So I'm saying, this is our new, you know, mascot or whatever.
Well, I guarantee you, a lot of people in Texas were not looking at Morpheus and thinking that this was a cool thing in 1999. But as it caught, street cred, they attached themselves to it. You know, oh, of course, I was in on this all along, but they weren't. Yeah. They'll just adopt it.
The red pilling and all that, the whole thing.
Right.
So instead of red pilling and QAnoning and all that, it's going to be everything bagel is going to be used by the alternative, whatever it is. And like, yeah, man, we've got the everything bagel. And it's like, I thought the everything bagel was awesome. Like, it's, you know, symbolic of the black hole and, right. you know, the creative destruction concept. Like, you can, you know, which way do you interpret things? He goes, the nihilist. They say, like, nothing matters. And that's kind of like one of the main points of the film is like, look, you can get all worked up by everything, but the truth is, and they tell you the truth is that nothing matters. And there's different ways to interpret that, right?
Right.
You can say nothing matters and use that as, like, you know, the kind of more positive sense and be like, you know, just relax. You don't have to worry about everything. Just enjoy yourself and enjoy your life and be good and things like that.
And nothing
nihilistic and say, yeah, nothing matters, so I'm just going to, you know, jump in this black hole right now and I'm going to – or, you know, I'll murder everybody on the planet because nothing matters, you know, that right. sort of thing.
And of course,
so you can go with the same concept. You can go different directions. So they're definitely saying that.
And, of course, there's nothing wrong with being a rock with googly eyes either.
Yeah, the rock, yeah.
I love that part.
That scene is cool. I feel like – I think that was shot at Death Valley because that's what it looks like to me. It definitely seemed familiar. I'm like, I think that's that overlook at Death Valley. So.
You know what? That you just spoiled my question. I was going to ask you that if you thought you recognized it and if it was anywhere near – Landers is where the next question was going to be.
Well, Death Valley's a bit north and northeast, but it's not too far away. And, you know, another famous desert area out here in Southern California. So, I'm pretty sure that's where that was because it looked like it to me. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, well, with that, I will now shut up and go back to looking at the phones. But I felt like I wanted to jump in there, though, and also test how it works when I talk to you. Because we're testing everything tonight, guys. This is the first time going live since I rebuilt everything. So this is all new equipment. The only thing that's the same from the last time we broadcast is my microphone and stand. My monitor also. Other than that, every single thing is new. So there you go. Microphone and mic cable, excuse me. everything else is brand new.
Oh, boy.
And, it had to be. I had most of it already, but I had to, and I want to thank everybody who kicked in, because without you guys, I would not have been able to get back on air as quickly as I did. It took me a couple of days to rebuild everything after I got stuff, but anyway, glad to be back. Thank you, Aaron, and I will not take up any more of your time. Hopefully, people will call in, which, by the way, message me on Skype. Hopefully, that works, because I'm using Windows 11 now. And they put weird limitations on the Skype, so let's see how it works. Or 319-527-5016. Okay, with that, I'll shut up, Aaron. Thanks. And I don't know how to cut this annoying noise when I kill my mic, but sorry about that. Anyway, I'm done.
I think everybody should be forced to use Windows 98, and we'll live in a time where we don't have to. We still have to worry. I'm sorry about 2001 coming, Y2K, because we're using Windows 98 and it's not yet Y2K, and we can be scared about that again. Because that'd be how's that for the multiverse? For time traveling, I guess it's more time travel than multiverse, but whatever. Okay, we're getting a phone call. That's good. And you can call in too if you want to join us, 319-527-5016. But for now, caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James, calling from USA. I think Windows 98 second edition, didn't they add a patch for that?
Maybe. I don't know. That's I just think we should all be using that, and you know, we'd be the world would be a better place, probably, right? That'd be great.
And 16-bit operating system. I know that.
I mean, why ruin a good thing? We've built all this up. We didn't really have to. We could have just kept things the way they were. I mean, why not?
Well, I'll tell you a secret. You could make Windows 11 exactly like Windows XP. You can make it look and act exactly like it. Only it's a 64-bit operating system instead of a 32-bit operating system. Hmm.
Excellent.
Turn off all the fancy. Hello.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, are you excited about the concept of biocomputing, Jimmy? You excited about that?
First off, I don't know a whole lot about that because that's not something I'm interested in. Just offhand, if I take the words literally, I would say, no, I think I'll pass on that. I assume that sounds, implant-y to me or something?
Well, they're doing experiments where they, I believe they're literally recreating neurons. Like, they're making brain tissue, and then they're using that to act as a computer. Somehow, like, they're running computer programs through this biological, like, actual neural cells that they're programming to be computers. And so these are, like, experiments where...
Just so I could catch up. You're saying that they're actually creating new brain matter that is computerized? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So somehow that's a whole thing. I'm not exactly sure how they do. I think that somehow they use stem cells or something, and then they create neural tissue. And then once they do that, they're able to use that as a computer, like a very basic computer. But they've got it to play the video game Pong. So they've got these early bio computers to play Pong. So they've done that.
Well, my dog could do that. And not for nothing, he's better at it than me. I mean, it's just two squares hitting up. Anyway, I was just curious about something. I recommended to you years ago that you watch Battleship Galactica. It's not even new anymore, but it's like 20 years ago it came out. That awesome series that's exactly everything you're talking about.
Yes, I need to. I started watching it like a year or two after it came out, but I only watched a couple episodes in, so I need to go back into it and watch it again. I do.
Absolutely. Well, that show, I never even bothered to watch it when it was out because it's not the kind of show where you could just jump in the middle and know what in the devil's going on. Mm-hmm. You really got to watch it from beginning to end, like pick a week.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Doctor Who, Jimmy? You ever watch that show? Any iteration of it? It's been on for many, many years.
Yes. I was horrified by those robots and their horrifying electronic voices when I was a youth.
You're talking about the Daleks, right?
Yes, or right. As I like to call them, the derelicts.
Those voices are very grating and horrifying. Yeah, and as a kid, I remember watching it, and that show was just very creepy altogether. But as an adult, the concepts in that are great. I really do enjoy that show.
And then later on, once again, because my mom watched it, she kind of watched it during that revival when that guy was pretty good. And yeah, I watched a couple seasons of the new ones when they were pretty good with that new funny guy and the blonde chick.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've only seen maybe one or two of those. It seemed like it was okay, but I've seen more of the older ones. I should check out the new ones too. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but traditionally, every time I think of Doctor Who, I always think of the guy that almost looked like Willy Wonka with the curly hair.
Yes. I forget the actor's name. Yeah, there's been so many actors that play him, but I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the 70s guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy when I watched when I was little, so I guess to me he's always going to be Doctor Who. But he was on that, the Day of the Doctors, I guess, some kind of thing where they had a bunch of these characters all at once.
Oh, yeah, they had a bunch of the actors that played Doctor Who all in one episode. Yeah, yeah, I think I've seen that too. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, it's got a lot of cool stuff. It's got a lot of esoteric material in it too. It's science fiction, but it's got loaded down with esoteric ideas and a lot of interesting stuff to do with like sort of transhumanist kind of business for sure. So and time travels.
Wouldn't it be very close to Lovecraft type universe?
You know what? I'm only passingly familiar with Lovecraft. I've never written any of the any of his stuff. I know Cthulhu just
I was counting on you. It's like my only experience with this Lovecraft stuff is, in retrospect, my fourth grade teacher used to read it to us.
Really? Oh my goodness gracious!
Oh boy, he was a big time hippie, but. Anyways, one thing, and it stood out to me how, I mean, it was very science fiction, I remember that. The book he read, I remember, like, there's a guy on another planet, or possibly in one of these alt universes, and he was wearing a watch, and I remember the watch was like his computer/time machine, and he had to be careful with that thing. I really wish I could find out what that book was so I could, like, read it 40-some-odd years later and see what I think of it now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fiction that I've missed over the years. I've never really been big into fiction. I'm not saying that's a good thing because I've missed quite a bit. I've always loved nonfiction, but I'm a depraved maniac.
No, me neither.
Honestly, my
pop culture, like after the year 2000, I don't know, something happened. If it happened after that, I just really don't give a crap. Like music and movie wise. Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, there comes a time in your life. Apparently, the year 2000 was my drop off point. I remember having a job where a 60-year-old lady was laughing at me because I didn't know who the Hilton sisters were. She said, "So who's your favorite, Paris or Nikki or whatever?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." She said, "You're kidding me." She said, "Don't you watch TV?" I said, "Well, I've been kind of busy the last 25 years. I don't know."
Yeah, I've been busy. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to get around to just watching anything. I get it. Yeah, it's just tough. And then you've got the added element. It's like, well, why bother? You know. So yeah, that's funny. Old man problems. What can you say? It happens to all of us. It's the way it is. Well, that's funny.
I'd like to part with just say I really watch that Battlestar Galactica, man.
Yes,
you'll
yes,
love I'll, that show.
I appreciate the recommendation. I'm sure that I would. I'll have to remember that and get on that. So yes, thank you, Jimmy.
And I'll tell you very much. There's in the new series. It's very much got a lot of for lack of a better word, theology in it that's interesting.
I believe that the series always had some sort of Mormon connection, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't recall how that works out.
No, in the original series even then, you could tell by the names, you know, Apollo, Zeus, the idea as well, these names came from these people who came from wherever, from long ago.
Interesting.
And that's much more amplified in this series. Like, I don't want to destroy the whole thing for you, but you can see where it's just, you gotta watch it there.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it. I know. Okay, I appreciate that. And yeah, I guarantee I would like it. I just gotta get around to watching it. So I will look for it. And maybe I'll get on top of that here. So thank you, Jimmy. We'll talk to you soon.
In fact,
right?
To entice you. Well, wait, I got one thing.
Okay,
to
go
entice
on,
you
on.
Even more, if you could figure this part out, I'll give you extra credit, man. There's a part where the XO's on trial for being a nut. The Battlestar Galactica's XO, he's on trial for something, I don't know.
Interesting.
And everyone thinks he's a crazy drunk anyway. And all of a sudden he keeps hearing a Jimi Hendrix song. What was the song? Well, certain people will say started hearing a Jimi Hendrix song. And then while he was sitting on the witness box, he didn't do himself any favors by going, "Someone turn off that damn music," which of course no one could hear it except for him.
Got it.
But if you could explain to me the Jimi Hendrix connection, and you'll understand if you watch the whole series, that's still I find very perplexing.
Okay, yeah, we'll check it out, Jimmy. I like it. We'll see. And you be on the lookout for those biological computers, because they're coming down the pike. They're going to be great. You're going to love them.
No. I pass on biocomputers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hear you. But we'll talk to you soon. Maybe call in the uncle hour if you're feeling it, Jimmy. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I mean, lots of good fiction out there. I'll have to check out Battlestar Galactica. Doctor Who's great. If you've never seen that, check that out. I think Ed's in the chat saying his favorite TV series are The Fugitive and Kung Fu. Right now, I'm thinking of The Prisoner as another cool series on TV. That's a classic. It reminds me of kind of similar vibes of these shows that we're talking about for some reason. But, the biological computers, that's a story I saw recently. And, I guess they're doing, they're doing kind of proof of concept sort of stuff with the experiments I was reading about. It's like, well, we made this neural tissue and now it can play Pong. And we don't know what the future could hold, but, you know, there's definitely, again, proof of concept, lots of promise. So I tend to think that the sort of transhumanist merger of man and machine is likely to occur, and likely to occur in the IT sphere, where, you know, the old digital systems will become a thing of the past at some point, where it just seems like the biocomputer thing would be the way that it things end up going. But there's no way of knowing. It's crazy. It is very disturbing. I don't know how they go about making this neural tissue exactly. They kind of just, the article I read is quite short, so I didn't have time to explain that, but that they did a quick brief explainer. But pretty wild. It's just crazy to think that that's the sort of thing going on now. You've got that. You've also got quantum computing, which is also crazy. But yeah, the quantum computer thing is bogged down with the hardware as well. The I know that one of the hopes with the biological computer concept is that you use a lot less energy than the supercomputers we know today. The supercomputers of today are still very much reminiscent of the early days of computers with the giant vacuum tubes and all that, like the giant room, that entire room made up of that sort of old equipment that's used all sorts of energy and got all hot. But at the time, it could do very little. It could do like very basic computations. Now you've got a huge room that still uses a ridiculous amount of energy. But it's able to do the supercomputers. What they're able to do is run these massive simulations and whatnot. So they're able to do exponentially more, but you still have that issue of, well, we're using a ridiculous amount of energy and resources to build these ridiculous machines. So is it worth it, or where are we going? Could we foresee a time where, you know, maybe we're using less power? Those are the questions being answered as we live out our lives and technology rolls on, and none of us can keep up with it, not even the experts. The experts aren't able to catch up with it. How might we be able to? We can't. It's hard to even understand how a regular computer even works. It's bizarre. Try learning a coding language. Have fun with that. I've dabbled with that sort of thing, and man, I do not care for it. I feel like I have skill with human language. I actually am pretty good when it comes to that, but computer programming, I don't think is a natural sort of. I'm not prone to that as I am natural language or human language again. So. So from zeros, the zeros and ones binary computer operating systems for sure are going to be replaced at some point, whether it be the qubits of quantum computing or the neural tissue of bio computers. It's going to be something else. It's not going to be what it is now. And I mean, oftentimes I just find myself living out my day-to-day life, and I'll step out of, you know, the routine. So we're all just going through the motions as we live. But I'll take a moment and be like, step back and like think about things and say, well, you know what? When I take a look around, I can see how the existence I'm living now will seem quite antiquated at some point in time. It's like, look at the, it's all quite cute and quaint when I look and think of it from the possibility of a future vantage point. It's like, oh boy, this is quite ridiculous, and what I'm doing is silly, and what's going to be happening is maybe similar in some ways, but also quite a bit different. The entire world is going to be restructured. And we're in the midst of that. The whole damn thing is changing, and nobody knows what to do about it. Everybody's starting to freak out because it's becoming glaringly obvious what's occurring. And it is a source of a lot of anxiety for people. It should be a source of anxiety for people. There is nothing wrong with that. It's the natural reaction to understanding what's going on. So it is that we're going through such anxiety individually and collectively. We're sharing these emotions, these psychological states. There's a mental health crisis after all. It's, we can try to point the finger at so many reasons we think might be the cause, but I think just overall it's this bigger picture that, again, is more and more obvious by the day. And as I've said on this show before, just basic corruption is now not, we don't You don't have to go to the fringes of society to discuss the reality of corruption anymore. Now it's just, regular. It's all quite blasé, actually, because everybody's talking about it. It's, again, it's obvious the basic corruption that we're dealing with at all levels of society. Like every single level it's corrupt at. And, you say that, it could be interpreted as being cynical. It could be considered a cynical take to say that. I just think it's plain old realistic. And if you see the world any other way, I think you're just being willfully ignorant. And that's worked for a while. But up to this point, that's not working. The willful ignorance thing it used to be like a real good go-to for your average person. It used to be easy to fall back on that. It's not so much an option anymore. So that, talk about that anxiety, here it is. I mean, what do you do in the face of this? It's like, well, everything's corrupt, everything's terrible. Nearly everything in the world's owned by a handful of people. I'm not one of those people. What do I do? And the madness of that handful of people as well deserves to be looked at too. You know, the Douglas Rushkoff story of him, being paid for what he believed was a speaking event, but he was just getting called out to the desert to give a little one-on-one conference to these billionaires that were asking him what they should do to prepare for the end of the world. And they weren't joking. They were very much serious. These are the, the luxury bunker sect of society. You know? The Walton family I believe they purportedly have some sort of all sorts of crazy bunkers, and God knows what they have. But yeah, that's quite the trend with the super rich. That so everybody's horrified that this is the end of the world as we know it. Everybody's trying to prepare. There's no real surefire way to do it. And looking at people really putting a lot of effort forward in doing so, you get to see their particular brand of madness. And that can be psychologically interesting study, but it's depressing. Again, mental health crisis. Here we are. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just act like this isn't the way things are. We're supposed to act like the world's not insane. Nope, we're not doing that anymore. Sorry, everybody. We're going to accept that everything is insane, that everything's crazy, that we're probably a bit crazy too, that the only escape we can have is to feel like we're schizophrenic when we're watching a movie. That's probably about the most sanity you can find these days. It's downright refreshing. And again, that's if a movie's able to do that, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Reiterating that, I guess on that note, if anybody has been contemplating doing some sort of creative project, and you have the time and resources to do it, I would say do it, because I get this feeling like now's a time where a lot of very interesting stuff is going to be made, because we're living in this bizarre revelatory instant where I think the best projects, the best pieces of art in all forms of media, any given media or art form you can imagine, I think there's just a lot of potential. There's like so much potential there. There's so many untapped things that are just there in the public consciousness, in the zeitgeist. Yeah, there's so much to play around with now. There's so much to work with. There's so much material there to go from that those that choose to do so, I think, are really going to find success. And personally, I'm hoping that, well, I know that whenever I free up enough time to do creative things other than this show, I plan on doing that sort of thing. I've got like a billion things that I wish I could be doing right now, but there's just no time. There's not enough hours in the day, as they say, but, yeah, there's just so much. There's so much there. Yeah, I'm just encouraging people, creative types that might be listening to this show, to go for it. If you're able to do it, now's the time. The iron is hot. Strike it. I'm just getting that feeling personally. I don't know what other people are feeling, but that's the way I do. Got a SEAL quote from Creative Accidents in the chat room, which I will read, but we're never going to survive unless we get a little crazy. I saw a bumper sticker in the Home Depot parking lot in Yucca Valley that said that. And I was like, yes, this rules. This person has a SEAL lyric bumper sticker. It's like that, and that sort of thing is quite normal in the desert. That's the sort of thing you see there. I've seen so many interesting bumper stickers. A lot of bizarre like song lyrics will make their way on the bumper stickers up there, and lots of interesting vehicles up there too, but that's another story for another time. Maybe on the Uncle Show in the next hour, so keep listening. Yes, so in the second hour of the show every Sunday night, it becomes Uncle the Podcast, if you weren't aware of that. So if you're listening live, stick around, and you'll be treated to that. An hour of comedy where we don't talk about anything serious, nothing political, that's for sure. No government talk. All I can ever do is manage to talk about the government for an hour every week. But you will be relieved of that in mere minutes now. You get an hour of fun. So that's coming up. Yes, that's creative outlets. So many different ways. Now's the time for that. I'm just putting that out there. The creative process is a fascinating thing. I love it. I could talk about that on and on forever. I think there's all sorts of interesting dynamics of that, that sometimes I hear other folks say things that I agree with, and it's refreshing. Briefly, what's on my mind now is I feel like when you're got the creative process going, it's not even you that's necessarily doing it. It's you kind of like pulling something out of the ether, as it were. It's like something that's already there, and you're just kind of like, oh, here. And you're just kind of presenting it for people. So, you know, no need to have a big ego as an artist. It's just like, hey, I'm just somebody, you know, grabbing something. You know, it's like going on a beach and picking up a shell or something. Like, look, this shell's cool looking. Check it out, dude. Say, oh, yeah, I like that one. I've never seen one like that before. And then you just throw it back and you find another one. You know, how about that? So it's all fun. It's all exciting. Nothing matters, right? Nothing does matter. But yes, what way do you interpret that? That particular truth, that deep truth that nothing matters. You gotta watch the movie to find out. I don't know. So let's see here. Again, the Ocelli Radio Network is up and running. It's back. It's great that Chuck has computer or got a new computer so he's able to do this again. Thank you everybody for helping out with that. We're glad that the network is up. If you're interested in running ads on this show or any shows on the network, it's ads@ocelli.com. Please do look into that. If you've been thinking about do it, get a hold of Chuck and start that conversation up. Might be happy that you did. Be happy about running some ads on here. My website is theageoftransitions.com. All sorts of fun material there. Got the podcast there, but other things. That's theageoftransitions.com. How about my Twitter? My Twitter is @FranzSimulation. So I'm on there. There's a YouTube channel attached to the Uncle Show. And all the links are real to that stuff at theageoftransitions.com. No, I haven't written an article for online in years now, so I don't have any of those. Maybe I'll release the old ones at some point, but no new stuff there for a while. But yes, check theageoftransitions.com for the whole shebang. And if you're listening live, do stick around because it's Uncle the Podcast here in the next hour. So for now, my name is Aaron Franz. I'll leave you, as always, by saying Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Advertise on The Age of Transitions. Hello, this is Aaron Franz, host of the Age of Transitions podcast and radio show. Do you like my show? Do you like the Ocelli Radio Network? Do you have a business? Do you have a product, a service that you need to promote? We can join all of your favorite things into one, and you can advertise your product, service, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you have a blog, online store, you name it. You can be on the Age of Transitions on the Ocelli Radio Network, advertising what you got, and it could be a beautiful thing.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
U.S. covert operations that are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Prophet of the airways. I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Warning. This is a Menacing Broadcast. Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hear me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law here, and he's the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello. We are back. We had a little difficult with on my producer's controls, and so we had to get a brand new one. Well, yep. That's why we weren't, I don't think, on last week.
We missed it. Yeah.
We missed it Chuck backed up. So we have now him back, and we are on rolling. So this is a 290 episode, I believe.
Probably.
It is.
Okay.
We've got a special drink
we're
here.
Jumping right into it.
Yes, we are.
What are we doing?
For the crack room.
This is crack for you, crack room. Who's
on the crack box?
Well, let's see.
Sidekick?
The crack box is showing Citizen GX, Creative Accidents.
Oh, figure he's here.
Phase Shifter, Chuck is there. So we've got definitely three people in there other than Chuck for sure. Let's see here. What are we doing over at Twitch and YouTube? We've got, looks like Creative Accents is also on Twitch.
Jeez,
Count Pupper. We got Count Pupper on Twitch too. So that's exciting. Glad to see, you guys there. So we are live on Ocelli.com every Sunday night. We're also live streaming the video on Twitch, on YouTube, on Uncle's Twitter. And a couple other places if you can find those. So thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out with us every Sunday night. And, yeah, the Ocelli Radio Network's back. We're happy to be back. You can call in and join us, too. Yeah.
Quick update, because I know Uncle always wants to know about international listeners. We only have Germany as outside of the United States tonight. That's it, just Germany. At the moment, yeah.
Wow, what's going on with those people in the United States? Well, out of the United States.
You know, because we were down last week, and so probably they went, oh, okay, you know, that happens. No big deal. Uh-huh. They'll come back around. But Germany, a lot of listeners, high concentration in Texas again.
Yes, because we saw some Texas people coming back.
So well,
I had
Texas,
another big surprise,
Texas
too.
Texas plates on the highway.
Tackle on the highway.
Well, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I give credit to Creative Accidents, this Texas area contingent here. I think he directly got them because he's actively out there doing the street cream. So,
oh, doing the street cream.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so I know we got a few listeners in Houston. Caddy, Texas is back up. Let's see. Dallas.
Packaging.
Yeah. Sending. Dallas, sending. Georgetown. Georgetown we probably got because we were on that radio station briefly. And a few other locations in Texas. So let's see. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Could be a duplicate, but I would say that you got about 8 listeners in Texas right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
We'll take it. Some of them are visiting our state.
California.
Because we saw a couple of states there.
We did see them on the highway today.
On the highway today.
Lots of out-of-state plates. Yeah, lots of Texas. So a few Floridas. I saw a couple of Iowas, which is odd. I don't see that one very often, but I saw a couple in a row. So they're out. They're driving out here.
Yeah.
Springtime, I don't know.
And locations, as far as California goes, you only got 3 listeners in California right now. But let's see, Tucson, Arizona, New Jersey, Franklinville, New Jersey. Let's see, always got to shout out New Jersey. And what else do we have here? I see Massachusetts, I see Michigan, I see Washington State, I see Washington, D.C., I see Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
The district, Pennsylvania. Ooh, yeah, I like these places.
Yeah. Alabama. Let's see who else is here. Is it Houston, Tucson? Oh, another two in Tucson. Excuse me. Yeah. All right, so that's, yeah, I'm generally looking over it. And, again, a shout-out to New Jersey. Always got a shout-out to New Jersey. And nobody in Georgia tonight at all. Florida. Let's see, one, two, that's California again. One, two, three. Yeah, only three in California. But eight, nine in Texas now. Nine in Texas. And
there you go. What's he doing?
But only one in Germany.
So, oh gosh. Huh. Well, yeah, that's odd. Yeah, it was, it's always good to hear. Uncle, I'm pleased about the lighting situation too. I'm surprised how well I fixed this it real quick. This looks pretty good to me. I kind of like this nice soft lighting we got going.
I think it's better actually than the white.
Because
it's pinging down on me. I'd rather have it.
You prefer this?
Prefer this.
This is kind of a relaxed lighting setup.
I don't like this straight at me, this thing.
Maybe we'll
go with
this.
I'm glad it's knocked down. Maybe. I think it knocked this down.
Knock that whole thing down.
Yeah. So then you have to play underneath here with your toys.
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen playing with playing with these toys.
We were playing down all around before we got on air. We're having some technical difficulties.
Difficulty with
all
light switching. Light switches.
We're up, and I'm very pleased with the way we've got the lights looking now. So here we are. We're live on Chili Radio Network. You can call in 319-527-5016 or come on through Skype. Send a message to Chuck. Type him a message, charles.ocelli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016.
All right, Ding Crack Room. I know you guys have been waiting for this. We have a drink.
We do.
From 1982.
It's from 1982.
Yeah, what is this?
This is, okay, so long-time listeners of the show will realize that we do dollar store beer reviews and other drink reviews. So this is another one. But before we go any further with that, we should probably take this call. What do you think?
We have a call on the line. Who are you from and who is it?
Oh, Jimmy James.
I knew he'd show up. Detroit man. Hey, get ready for a drink.
Yeah,
you got a drink
man.
On you.
Let's see what I do got. This thing is called a Mountain Dew Pineapple Orange Mango.
All right, that's what I do.
Oh, yeah, you got a Mountain Dew again. Jimmy.
He loves his mangoes. I mean, his Mountain Dews.
That's okay.
That's all right. And somebody has a drink, and I just want to make sure that they got a drink because we finally hit the I'll tell you the truth. Actually, his wife did the job.
Oh yeah, she got
We found this drink in the dollar store. But I'm thinking now we're gonna eliminate drinking beer. We are going to the high test. This here drink.
This is okay. Yeah. So
well,
here we are.
Talking.
I'm presenting it as though I'm one of Barker's Beauties or whatever they call Drew Carey's models. I'm one of those people. I'm waving my hand around with this. And if you're watching a live stream video, you can see this. But if you're not, you're lucky. This is, again, from the dollar store. If we get drinks from the dollar store, we review them.
Yeah. Review drink.
This is going to review this. So this is, what is it called? It's called 1982 Agave Azul.
Oh, agave. That's what it's called. Agave.
Blue agave, right?
Blue agave.
Made in Mexico. And the little tagline here describes it as 100% agave azul, elaborado y, okay, this is straight up Spanish. Elaborado y envasado bajo.
Anybody in Spanish can understand what we're talking about here. Well, give Chuck a call.
I would like to hear. I need to hear that again. Please repeat all that.
That's sidekick talk. I'm trying to get the people that know Spanish to know what we got here.
It ain't me. I
know it's not you.
Mr. Melanin Challenged Man here is having trouble with the Spanish. I'm sorry. I'm from Southern California, but I'm tripping up here.
I know you're tripping up.
We've got let's see here. So below the Spanish, it says it's agave wine.
Agave wine.
It's an agave wine.
It's a guava wine drink.
It says orange wine with caramel color added. 20% alcohol by volume.
Can you hear this, sidekick?
This is why
I'm making sure you can hear this. Because you're diving into this wine stuff. I'm just wondering about sidekick.
You guys are more experts.
What?
Uncle, is a tequila, I mean, good tequila, real tequila, made from 100% agave? I mean,
I think it is almost like.
You hit the nail on the head, Jimmy. That's what actual tequila is made out of, agave.
Agave, it
is. That's what this is. So this is basically like some sort of hybrid between a tequila and a wine. I don't know how that even works, but it's made from the same plant.
I'm very curious what I'm going to rate this, because this I was waiting for. Of course, we couldn't do it last week because, you know, Chuck had problems, but I was looking towards this one because this is what I've been waiting for.
We were very excited about that.
But, might go back to getting it for wine, not beers,
in
dollar stores.
Count Pupper on YouTube is asking, is this 41-year-old wine? Because it does say 1982 on the label.
We don't know. We have to test it there. thing first.
I guess that's the company name is 1982.
It's the company's name.
It's kind of hard. I don't think it's actually bottled then, but this is going to be interesting. So you want me to pull the cork off, Uncle?
Pop this cork, and for the crack room, hope you have a drink.
Whoa. Twist off. You know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Let me smell it here. You want to give it a whiff here before we pour it, Uncle? You want to smell?
Let me see what this smells like.
Smell the bottle. Get the nostrils in there.
Mm.
Okay, good.
That's not bad.
Now, here, I'll pour you a drink.
Let me a drink.
Uncle.
I got one crazy thing I finally got.
He has this alien fresh jerky shot glass.
Shot glass. You got your other drink. I brought this up.
Death Valley came up on my show.
Death Valley? So. What happened?
You've been out to Death Valley, you may have been to Alien Fresh Jerky is all I'm saying.
This is a
Okay. So we have a shot. We each have a shot glass of this stuff. And we're
I'm drinking these shot glasses. I'm using them from now on when we do my testing. I told you that before, sidekick.
What about shot glasses?
Yeah, that we're using them, not the regular glasses.
My shot glass isn't as cool, but it is orange.
I
have an orange one, all right? I don't have an alien fresh jerky one.
Oh, this is the one I got off the, what you call it, and put it on.
That's good. Like I said, it's a good choice. Alien fresh jerky, cool spot. Okay, so are we ready to at least taste this, Uncle?
We're going to taste this right now.
You don't have to drink the whole thing.
Don't
have to. Don't feel obligated to guzzle the whole shot glass, Uncle. Just get a taste and let's see what's going on.
Happening here. We have to have a test.
Okay. So how about while we test, why don't you take the floor, Jimmy?
You take the floor.
Why don't you say a few words while we just taste and think about this?
All right. There we go.
It's you, Jimmy.
It's up to you.
No, go for it. What am I supposed to do?
Give a talk. Just to talk, to tell them we're just having a drink and we're testing it on my test board. Yeah.
Yeah, just let them know.
Let them know that.
I did take a sip. I've tasted. What about you, Uncle? Do you have initial thoughts on the taste of this stuff?
It's not bad.
I bet it
was going to be worse, but.
So you're expecting it to be bad?
I thought it would be, but.
I
think it's going to be a good number for me. I don't know about you.
I'm stumbling here. I'm having a hard
stumbling
time.
Words. Hey, that's the first I heard of him saying.
I guess it makes sense that it is an agave wine.
Yeah.
It does actually taste like a wine more so than it does tequila, I think.
Yeah, I have that feeling too.
It tastes like some kind of wine that I guess just so happens to be made.
That sounds like to me, Aaron, that has to be an improvement on taste then.
So you don't like tequila, Jimmy?
You don't like it? Jimmy, you don't like tequila?
No, I won't. No, no. Actually, I'll tell you something. I ain't drank in a good 20 years, but I used to be able to drink that stuff like water if I wanted to.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't bother with the lemons and the little salt and all that. I just used to pick up the thing and say, all right, here you go. Come on, hit it again. Come on.
Whoa.
Got it.
Wow.
I love tequila. It's one of my favorite liquors for sure. And I prefer liquor over beer these days myself personally. So I really like it.
And honestly, I used to get more hungover from beer than from tequila.
Me too, Jimmy. I'm exactly like that. I can drink a lot of liquor and I'm okay, but I can drink a couple beers and I get myself in trouble. I find the same thing.
So you're turning the table then, so I
guess so. For whatever reason, Jimmy and I kind of have that same sort of quirk about our biology. Who knows why it works that way, but I guess it does. So, you know. So this, Uncle, what do you think of the taste? Describe how this tastes to you. What does it taste like? Tastes like a grape? Does it taste like a succulent plant juiced?
Bingo, bingo. You hit it.
It does.
I think we got one of his plants taste. Because it's what it tastes like. It's got that taste of what he just mentioned.
It's blue agave. That's what it says blue on the
agave,
label.
Blue agave, but it has a taste of a plant. I don't know what plant, though.
Agave.
I don't agave. It's a agave drink, but I'm talking about the plant now. So I kick.
Well, the plant.
The plant of what plant this is?
The plant is agave, Uncle.
Agave?
Yeah, agave is a plant. Yeah, that's.
Wait a minute. We're a little bit confused here. There's a plant on a plant, and I'm trying to figure out the drink.
Okay, so agave is a desert plant. It's the one pictured on the label here, right here. It is a succulent plant.
Oh, that.
It's there's all different varieties of them, but the one that they use for tequila is quite large, probably gets about 6 feet tall, actually, maybe even taller than that. And they have large, succulent leaves that end in sharp, sharp points. You could impale yourself on that thing, and you could. I'm sure it could kill you.
That can kill you. That plant.
You if it could be used as a murder weapon if you were sick enough to do so. But
I don't see how. It's a question is how does it can kill you? Well, I'm a little confused here.
I've seen this in many picture shows. Easy. They push the guy, and he goes into the giant cactus and gets impaled.
Oh.
There you go,
cactus.
Jimmy.
Yep. He knows it more than you do this.
Not unlike a cactus. Cactus is also a succulent, different sort of spine. But, yeah, the very sharp. Very sharp and very – the tips on them are quite hard, and, yeah, they can do damage. Not unlike a Joshua tree leaf, Uncle. You know how sharp those things are?
Oh, yeah. Them things
very sharp.
They bite you if you touch them.
They can, yeah.
Dang.
But anyway, it's a succulent plant, and they do cut off the leaves, and they gather the liquid from it, and they ferment it, and you get tequila out of it. And they somehow used a similar process for this and made wine instead, I guess. I don't know how that worked out, but this time it's wine. It's not tequila. It's still pretty strong. 20% alcohol is stronger than most wines are.
What did the crack room say? What are they saying about the drink?
Okay, so the crack room, let's go to the Ocelli.com.
Oh, hold on there.
They're saying, Face Shifter says, saw a hold on. The glass, Chuck is, let's Chuck, let's see here.
It's Chuck's name.
Looks like a lot of discussion on your shot glasses, Uncle.
This is what they're looking at shot glasses. I don't have my good shot glasses. I got my good ones down there.
Yeah, we've got a lot of national park ones.
National park ones, but I figured to take this one because I figured they'll get a kick out of it.
Oh, the alien fresh one's great. Here, I'll show it to him again. Here, let me hold it up to the camera so you can see it. And for those of you that don't know, again, alien fresh jerky is like a roadside attraction tourist trap in Baker, California. It's cool, though. It's awesome. They're actually building a hotel there. My kids love it.
Hey, Aaron, was that guy that died in a cave in Canada the guy that used to live in your cave? Did you hear about that?
No. What is it?
Oh, now we're getting into caves.
Canada cave? What's the story? Tell us what it is.
What the heck is this?
It was just a blurb in a news headline. So something about famous cave dwellers lived in a cave for like 30, 40 years, died somehow out there. It sure sounded a lot like that guy that was living in that cave near where you live.
Oh, you're talking about Frank Kritzer, who lived underneath giant rock. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, this story, whoever it was, I think this guy got killed. He got crushed. Hmm. But I could have sworn it's in Canada, so it can't be the same dude.
No.
Kritzer
died decades ago. Yeah, but it was during a confrontation with the police, and they used dynamite to get him out of there, I guess, as the story goes, and that he died in the process. But yeah, he was living underneath of giant rock. He built quite a really cool, like, basement kind of dwelling down there that, as the story goes, stayed cool in the summers and warm in the winters. So it was kind of an idyllic living situation underneath giant rock out there in Landers. Yeah.
We had an aeroplane strip line that we looked at. Up there, we were out there.
Van Tassel ran the airport, which was right there at Giant Rock. Yeah, so Van Tassel and Kritzer were buddies, and they were in the same spot out there. Yeah.
And in the same area, so they shot it through. Mm-hmm. But the thing about that crazy rock is it got teared off, but I saw what I saw of it was very interesting.
You're talking about what's left of Giant Rock now?
What was left?
Yeah. It's an awesome spot. Yeah, and there's the foundation of Van Tassel's wife's restaurant is right next to Giant Rock. The foundation is still there, but that's all that's left of it these days. So it's pretty cool.
Why was they flushing him out and dynamiting him? Was he like a killer? I mean, what's the deal?
It's interesting. He as the story goes, he had like the feds watching him because he was a German American, and he was living out there during the war era. So they were afraid he was like some sort of spy for Germany, and so the feds were watching him. And then local authorities had come in, quite possibly at the behest of the feds, and they'd kind of like, you know, tried to see what he was up about. And I guess there was a standoff of sorts where they're trying to get him to come out, but he was locked in there. And I think the story is like that in an attempt to get inside, they used dynamite, but they killed him, which seems incredibly reckless to use dynamite. But that's the story as I know it. So pretty crazy. There's always been strange stuff happening out in Landers, and
These days they don't like people using chokeholds and things.
Yeah, well,
you start throwing sticks of dynamite, they'd really get upset.
Well, we also got good news about Landers too.
Do we?
We're finally completed, people.
We did it.
Completed, so he can get back to his selling stuff on the online, and all your cards will be sent out.
Yeah, we have more time to do that.
And he's got the good. He'll get that going. So
we won't spend...
Chucky boy, you'll have them fully soon.
Yep. We'll have a little more free time now. We won't be spending every single weekend hour in Landers, getting the place ready. It's up.
It's up.
Very happy with the way it looks.
And it's going to be starting to run.
Yeah. So
there goes the money fly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's so far so good, and I have
the first customer will be this coming week.
We've got a customer lined up, aren't we? Look at us go!
It's this Friday, right? The 15th.
It's coming up soon. Yes.
Yeah, the 15th.
But long story short, I feel accomplished. I feel good about myself. I'm very pleased with what we did. And yeah, life goes on. We will still be going out to Landers. We will still do work on the property, surely. Like we have been.
No, not like we have been. But we will go out there because I have to check every monthly for
Uncle's got to check on his cans.
Cans. It's a can situation. I got cans of things. Yeah. I'm trying to do something with his wife. Where I'm putting a separate pound weight on, because I got this bag almost full. Finally, hers is almost full.
Of
can. And I wanted to do a test weight. I know I'm putting it all together. I know I'm going to put it all together. But I wanted to do a test weight on how much she gets. Compare with how much I pick up getting.
Test it
that, out. On the testing. No, I'm just testing that.
Test it out.
That's what I'm doing. She'll get that money, Corp. She'll get that money of what she gets. But I just want to find the weight is what I'm concerned about. I just want to see how that works.
Uncle's always collecting cans, always recycling, so always looking for ways to get new cans, new ways to get cans. The Landers property may be a prime way to do that. So he just can't wait to go out there collecting cans.
Yeah.
So that's one of the exciting things.
That's the other exciting thing.
Very good. Should we circle back around to Agave Azul by 1982, Uncle? Do you want to keep talking about this wackadoodle drink here? It's odd. It is an odd drink.
So the crack room enjoys this. I'll be back with wine drinking. No beer drinking.
It's been a long time.
In the dollar store. And that's what I'm telling the crack room. And you all that have a drink with you.
Oh, Creative Accent says he's drinking grapefruit Radler by Stiegel. It looks like it says Stiegel.
Oh, there you are.
I think so.
Oh.
Uncle, I saw a NASA super guppy.
Heard that super guppy. There was something going on about him.
Oh, yeah?
How was he doing?
Super guppy? NASA super guppy?
Yeah.
I think it's an airplane.
What? I thought it was a human.
Sounds like a fish. Yeah.
Human fish. I used to raise those suckers.
You know about tropical fish.
I know guppies. Yeah. I had...
That's one of your areas of expertise.
I know that.
So the super guppy, I guess, is a plane. He's asking what your favorite plane is, Creative Accents did in the crack room. Do you have a favorite airplane, Uncle?
United.
United?
The one with the American wall on the tail?
United Airlines?
The American with the American wall on the tail.
American Airlines?
Yeah. It has it on the tail. Okay. I'm playing.
Yeah, no, I know. It's the logo.
It's the logo. Okay. Yeah.
What about the Lufthansa? You like that logo?
I like the Lufthansa. I like the...
Qantas.
The Hawaii one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Hawaii one.
On it?
Yeah. That one.
That guy seems like he's in such a good mood. He just seems like
he had a little...
Is that what's going on with that
smoking doobie.
Is that what's going on with him?
Yeah, there's a doobie on him.
I just thought he was kind of relaxed. He just seemed like a kind of like...
Yeah, that was a doobie. Well,
to be fair, I lived in Hawaii for a year there. Well, 9 months. They're very laid-back people.
Yeah,
extremely laid-back people.
Yeah, I know that.
That's cool.
I can tell the way they're talking to the people that come visit. I can tell they're sitting there, they're laid back, and they start talking nice. They do got a nice voice to them.
Uncle, Count Popper's wondering that why you didn't say the F-14 Tomcat was your favorite airplane.
Bobcat, that's a service plane.
Yeah, that's the service plane that Tom Cruise flies.
That too.
You also like that.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good plane.
Well, yeah, that's a good one too. I like what I like though. I like the Blue Angel planes too. Everybody know about that Tupper?
That should be the F-14, I believe.
Yeah, that's the ones I've always liked. I've always liked those.
They're the Navy.
I've seen them in the base in Jacksonville when I was working. I saw loads of those, and when they go up, they make a racket sound.
Yeah, they're pretty loud, huh?
Yeah, like you had to have to put earplugs in.
Oh yeah,
in your ears just to watch them take off.
That would be wise.
Yeah. For somebody, if they're deaf, of course they couldn't hear.
You have much experience with the planes in your time with the service, Jimmy?
What do you mean, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's how we got around.
Yeah.
The cargo planes are you talking about?
The cargo planes.
Yes and no. We would take commercial to get over to Europe, and then we would switch to military aircraft.
Got it.
Oh.
Like, for instance, when I the last time I traveled, I was strapped to the wall of a C-113, I do believe.
Oh, gosh. Strapped.
Interesting. Okay,
Ready to go, take off.
Ready to go. All right, interesting.
I like the C-130. No one asked me, but my favorite plane, I think, would have to be the C-130 rolling down the strip.
Yeah, those ones take off at the base near us here, out on the other side of Riverside. They're always flying those things.
Is that the numbers?
I believe so. It's the big cargo one.
Oh.
Yeah. Big plane, very large. Yeah. Reminiscent of the Spruce Goose, sort of, just due to its size. But this drink is weird, Uncle. I don't know if I like it. I don't know if I hate it. I don't know.
I knew this was going to come up with Sidekick.
I just don't know.
I knew it. I couldn't give a perfect score on it. I knew it would happen.
Should we rate it?
I am absolutely correct with this Sidekick. Doesn't like to understand rating these wine drinks of what they are. I knew it would be. I'd say he's going to have a middle age. Now thinking about it,
maybe
from him.
Maybe it's not terrible. It's not. I don't despise it. I can drink it. It's not like I'm not cringing when I have it. Like some of those wines from the dollar store, they make me cringe and oh God, they make me sick. Literally, they make me sick and I have trouble with them. This doesn't seem like it's going to hurt me.
No.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that it's a succulent plant. So
it's your plants. You think of it as your plants.
It is.
Putting in the ground. That's what you should think of this drink. As.
I'm thinking of that right now.
I'll give you the test since you were lifting it up. You give the number.
Okay, so of course, Uncle's talking about we have to rate this on a scale of 1 to 10, what we think of it. I will give it, this is tough. I suppose for what it is, I'll say it's a 7 out of 10 for what it is. I would give it a lower score just as an alcoholic beverage, but for what it is, it's a 7 out of 10. It's okay. It's all right. I'd much rather have a shot of tequila. It kind of, to me, tastes like a shot of tequila. Somebody put like a wine in. They mixed a wine, some sort of like a generic, very grapey kind of wine. You know, not one that's like dry, but one that's like more fruity kind of. Cheap wine kind of mixed in with it. That's how I describe the taste. But yeah, long story short, 7 out of 10, Uncle.
7.
I turn it over to you.
Oh, gosh.
What say you to this?
Once again, it goes over the top for me. I don't understand this, dude. This is tasting really tasty, what it's got in it, it's got the amount of taste what I, what actually.
It's overflowing with taste.
It's got the taste to go over, let's say.
Okay.
Much better than that one me and Chuck and you had in that, that crazy other one.
Yes.
Whatever.
Swirl?
Swirl. Oh, man.
That was terrible.
I made a wrong mistake on that number.
It's
that
better than been that. A that's zero, for sure. It's better. Yeah.
But much better than that. This is though. It gave me a 10 on it.
So it's a 10 out of 10 for you.
10 out of 10 for me on this.
There you go. So Uncle says 10 out of 10. I say 7 out of 10. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. This is 1982 Agave Azul. If you see it at the dollar store, I don't know. Maybe it's something different. I'll give it that. I do taste the agave.
You do taste that.
It is wine-ish. It's wine-ish. It's tequila-ish. It's odd. It's an odd drink, and it's fairly high alcohol content.
Only I had a little drunk glass taste. This is what I'm doing for now. These drunk glasses are what it's going to be used for.
I'm going to leave it at the drop glass too. I'm not going to go for a second drop glass full. I'll say that for it. It's not
no worm in it. Tequila. Sometimes tequila has a worm in the bottom. What about those things?
Yeah,
I haven't seen no worm.
No, definitely no worm.
No worm there. No worm in the bottle. I can tell. Not from the whale.
Nope. No worm in this. It's just.
I was surprised of what you gave it, but of course.
Oh, there's something floating. Oh no, is that the label?
Yeah,
that's just the label. Never mind. There's nothing in there. There's a whole lot of nothing. You're surprised I gave it 7 out of 10, really?
I thought you'd give it maybe an 8 or a 9. But I knew it wouldn't be a 10 from you.
No.
I knew it wouldn't have been a 10, but an 8 or a 9 I would look at.
It's okay. It's okay. I think
that.
Go, Jimmy. Go.
Go, Jimmy. Go.
What say you?
I mean, Uncle's rating of a 10, is that like dollar store? You're just, it can't be the best thing ever you drink. So you're just in that
it's
price
me,
level.
It's me because I never tasted something like this. It's my tasting that's giving it the ratings.
Yeah.
And this drink, I never had a taste of this kind of taste before.
So it gets unique points. Points for being different, right, Uncle?
Is that yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's enough to give it to 10 out of 10 from Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know if I've drank anything that's a 10 yet.
I've had a couple that really, I do like really good beers and some fine liquors.
I wish there was a way.
Good ones.
I wish there was a way. Just curious, send some of these drinks to ship to the guys that I talk to send it out to them. I mean, I know it's impossible,
yeah,
but
I
was just wondering how it would work for something like that.
You had to meet up in person, Uncle. We got to do Uncle the convention.
Hey.
We got to have a convention.
Hey, hold on a second. Thinking about that.
You got an idea?
Hey, Chuck. Can it be possible we could have something like that?
Well, what do you mean?
A convention?
A convention?
Uncle wants Uncle the convention. He's spitballing ideas to make that happen.
I'm spitting balls at you.
I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it.
In Las Vegas?
See, I'd love to do a get-together, but would we all have to go to California is the question.
That doesn't seem fair.
I think we should do it in Vegas, Uncle.
Mm.
Uncle, Vegas is the place to do conventions. Plus, between you, me, and the devil out in Cali, I might got warmth.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just throwing that out there. Just saying, let us all think about it. How's that?
Yeah.
We're thinking.
I'm down for it.
We're thinking.
Yeah, and I figured you would be, Jimmy. I'm asking the Chuck boy over here.
Well, you know, I'm going to see how it goes in Dallas because we're supposed to have a little get-together in Dallas in November, a bunch of Ocelli people. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, hey,
I'm just throwing that out there just to see, because, heck, if people would see me live, actually, the person behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, we just have to come up with we just have to come up with a good location. That's the thing. I think if you got a good location, it could be a lot of fun. And even if it's a small one, I've seen them where, you know, only like, say, get 20 people together. It's good enough, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go wild with them. And we'll have these drinks live right there, and they're like, oh, that drink. Right. People will go crazy.
Obviously, you know, live broadcast.
My tending.
You know, live broadcast with a live audience, that would be one of the big features. And
Yeah.
You know, Creative Accidents was actually asking about the story behind the uncle intro, but you guys are running down.
Oh, really? Yeah. He hasn't heard us give that story?
I guess not.
We could do that. We have enough time to describe that. Do you want to do that, Uncle?
Okay. Well, if I am, if you haven't heard it.
Let's start this. I'll start this by asking you, Uncle, what is your memory of making the Uncle theme song? Because we made that. We made that song. You and I did. What's your memory of making that song? Do you recall? Anything clear? Here. Let me. I'll begin. Okay, you're struggling. That's okay.
There's two boats. There's two boats in the chat room to hold the convention at Landers. By the way, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Landers?
Yeah, it could be at, like, a giant rock, like Van Tassel style, Uncle.
That'd be a good place.
We could camp out there.
Yeah, we could do that if
we'll see.
People in for it.
We shall see. We'll keep that idea in the back of our minds, no doubt.
Yeah.
But the Uncle theme song, I do want to address this because it's a fun story. So what it was I like to compose stupid little songs on GarageBand on my computer. I'll hook up the little keyboard and I'll make songs and I'll put them together and it's fun. Some of them Chuck plays on the network sometimes. And a lot of songs I just will record like a little piece. Like I'll just record one little piece and then I'll save it as something. Then I won't do anything with it, or maybe I'll come back to it later. It'll just exist as one little thing I recorded and never did much with. I recorded this one piece that I titled Terminator Ripoff, I think, because I was kind of like going the dun 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 dun, the beat, the Uncle beat. I just did that in the keys. I'm like, oh, this kind of reminds me of the Terminator theme song at that one part where it's like, choo, 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 choo. It's kind of like that. So I called it that, and just it was saved as a file for a while. And then we were doing the Uncle show, and so I was like, okay, we need to – why don't we just make our own theme song? I was kind of playing around with GarageBand. I opened up that file. I was like, oh, well, what if we like played around with this? And then, listening to it, I got going and I recorded a guitar part over it. And then I had you, Uncle. I was like, okay, we're going to do this intro. And then you were there on the microphone. I was kind of like giving you a little bit of direction. I'm like, okay, say this. And it's a whole warning thing. Cause like the feel of the music, it seemed to like, it kind of like felt that way. It's like, oh, what if Uncle came on? It's like, oh, this is so serious. The serious show is coming on. Warning, you're about to listen to this. And so
Yeah.
Do you remember now, Uncle?
Yeah, I remember it now. This, it's the, idea of the ahead of program. Know how they were ahead of program? Like, for example, like a sports announcer. Mm-hmm. He's getting ready for a big announcement. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be like something like that, except I had to put in a little bit of respect of up and down on it, because we have listen here, we have this up, down, or sitting up, or sitting down.
Yeah, do you remember saying the sitting down
sitting
or standing up?
And standing up to understand what we're talking about here. And I had to put that through that way to get it to fit.
Well, let me ask you guys a quick question about this. Because, first of all, the whole thing with the warning, all I could think of was Robbie the Robot from Lost in Space. Warning, right? And I love that. But I was curious about something, though. Did you guys do this when we were going to go do the first live shows?
Because before.
It was before that?
It predated that.
Okay.
Before that.
Yeah.
I didn't know because I don't remember hearing the intro until you gave it to me like right before we were going to do the live shows. Because remember the first live show we did was, well, it was called Trans Resistor Radio.
And well, that was his.
That was my show.
That was his show.
But then the second part was actually themes and memes.
Oh, the, oh, first one that the we themes, went live on.
The yeah. themes and yeah. memes, the themes and memes is the buddy that he,
Adam
that yeah. he had talked to at the time to, they had.
I still talk to him.
Well, he still talks to him, but I mean, he, having, now having difficulty in getting in touch.
Time zone
right. problems.
For a live show, it's
for
near
live
impossible.
Show for him, yeah. it's hard. And that's why, that's where that started.
Oh yeah. But I had the themes and memes intro and I was supposed to run that. And then the next thing I know is Aaron sends me this thing and I went, oh, okay, so Uncle has his own intro.
Right.
And I listened to that and I went, oh crap, this is great. I was like, because I heard basically Robbie the Robot is what I thought of in the first part. And then this is an emergency broadcast. Code Red. And I was like, wow, that's just perfect.
Well, it's my show, of course, you know, is comedy.
Right.
And what goes with comedy is that intro.
Somehow that just made sense for the intro. When I heard it, I'm like, oh, what if this was the Uncle intro, the Terminator ripoff song? It made it all really dire
ripoffs or whatever he's saying it is. Because I also liked what's his name. I always liked him, and I say, well, let's put something together for my intro. Mm-hmm. So we figured it out. Up, down, stand up, or sit down.
Yes.
Talk show, and see how it comes out. I was thinking of that.
So we
playing around with it, started it, and bang, it came out. Where
I was recording Uncle's voice. I was giving him some direction. I'm like, oh, what if he said this? What if he said that? I recorded him, and then it was a matter of just like. Piecing it all together, like putting the audio in the right spots and recording the different guitar parts and composing it in GarageBand. That's what it was. So yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the truth. If Uncle's intro wasn't perfect already, I would have asked you to try and use that developers thing you did not too long ago.
With Balmer's audio, like say developers.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
What was that?
I don't even know why it's funny. And that's the funny thing about the Uncle intro. When I first heard it, I was like, this is not only hilarious, but I'm drawing all kinds of mental pictures. And it's just funny, just all by itself. And I was like, that's just perfect because it totally shifts the mood of the show when we go into the second hour. And if it wasn't for you having a perfect intro already, I would have said, let's work with this developers thing. No need to change it. It's one of the... Creative Accident said that he listens to a lot of radio, but that Uncle intro is like absolutely great among all like radio.
So he likes it.
That means a lot to us. Yeah, that's cool.
People get excited when they're listening to the show. They get excited when that comes on because it's like, oh look, here comes everybody, get ready, and it's like everybody brace yourselves. Here comes the Uncle show.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I love the idea of that being the first thing that people hear of the show. Like, it really sets like a tone and expectation. Like, what the heck is going on?
Right.
I love that idea of like somebody going like, what in the world is happening? And then the next thing they know, they're listening to Uncle talk. You know?
Well, because I've had people tune into the radio station who are like not familiar with Uncle, and they go, okay, well, I know Franz, you know, he did his documentary, and I know you, and you do your thing, and. And then it's like, and then this comes on, they go, I can't tell you how many times I've had people like send me a message. I'm listening to your station right now. What in the hell is going on?
You mean, are they new customers?
They're new ones, new ones.
They new customers?
Yeah. When they came on, like they never heard of you before, and then they heard that and they went, whoa, what in the hell is going on? Like that is the most common. You know, kind of like what was his name? Aaron Dykes. When you brought Aaron Dykes onto the Uncle show, and he really appeared to have no idea what was going on, and I was just like, "This is so great." Like, but that's what I was getting from listeners sometimes. Like, I'm like listening to all this serious stuff, and then all of a sudden, warning, and I'm like, what in the hell?
And it's well, just, it's time for the comedy show.
I know.
You have to put a song to match the comedy.
Well, that's the thing. It's a total change.
And that's what it was.
It's a total change, and they get it from the intro. Yeah, it's like right from the intro, they know this is now a different part of the broadcast. For sure. So I love it.
Goodness. Yeah, it's I remember doing putting that together. It was like a lot of fun. It was fun recording Uncle's vocal part for that, and it was I had a lot of fun with the guitar too, and it was just one of those things that just kind of came. I was talking about the creative process in the previous hour. It was one of those things where you just kind of like pull something out of the ether. It really felt that way. It's like, well, let's go fishing for a song and we'll see what we come up with. And that's what we found in the depths of whatever it is. That's what came up on the line.
Yeah, it just came out, but it came out perfect because it's just such a perfect way to set up a totally different part of the broadcast day. It's like you have now entered a totally different broadcast, for sure.
It's better than that. Anshaw with doing the government stuff. People want a change.
Oh, I know it, and that's why I change.
That's why I change to this government stuff that he has on his hour.
Oh, I know it, but it changes from the whole broadcast on the whole station because I've told people several times. Look, you got to understand. When this happens, you are now in Uncle's world, and you have been told this because listen to the intro.
Yeah, the warning. You have now been told.
You are in Uncle's world. It's his time. That's that. So and they go. That's all you're going to tell me. Yep, that's all I'm going to tell you. Listen to it for yourself.
And tell those people if they haven't heard me, take a listen.
I do. That's exactly what I said.
Take a listen.
Well, in that intro, am I hearing things, or is there briefly a clip of Cheech Martin? Or do
no,
I just
no,
imagine
no.
That?
I think you're hearing that.
Cheech Martin.
That, I did not add in any clips from anything.
No, it's all original. All original sound from these guys. Yeah, it's Uncle's vocals.
Mine.
Aaron's guitar. You know,
there's a part where someone's I don't know what, boobies or something.
It's Uncle saying something. I'm not exactly sure what part, but it's Uncle saying something. I'm not exactly sure what.
I don't even. I have to go over it to find out what it was.
Yeah,
I lost track. Saying it over and
pick
over.
Pick up your iPhones.
Start the show.
Pick up your iPhones, your iPads. He says, "Hoo-ah!" at one point, and like,
yeah, look out,
look out.
Oh, that part. Yeah.
Yeah,
iPads and cell phones, and planes.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I understand it now.
But it's great.
It also says another thing. Mm-hmm. The intro says another thing.
What's that?
It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Look what's coming. Look what's coming here.
It's here now.
It's here now, actually.
It's
nobody's listening to you. You're on that crazy phone, and bingo,
gets into that even,
and it gets part of that in.
Well, sadly, what's coming now though is the end of the show.
Yeah, we're here. We came and went again.
I flew by. How fast did that go?
Real fast.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. We had Jimmy, so
we had Jimmy. Jimmy, you want to give a quick shout out?
Yeah,
any shout outs?
Shout out to you guys. Welcome back. Shout out to Chuck. Welcome back. And I look forward to another new week in the Chelly Effect Network. Good night.
All right. Take care, Jimmy.
Good night, Jimmy. Surprised that was only one caller tonight.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you for calling, Jimmy. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We're at Uncle Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. UncleThePodcast.com is the website. Again, live every Sunday night on Ocelli.com. And why don't you just bring us home for the week, Uncle?
Here's my 290 episode. Bye-bye.